Hello and welcome to the Growth Strategy Partners Keys to Growth podcast. Today we're interviewing Greg Mooney, the CEO of SDI International, and hopefully in 30 minutes or less we're going to share with you keys to growing your business. Greg, how are you today?
Good afternoon. Good.
Things good down in Texas?
Very nice. Texas is a great place to be.
Tell us real quick, actually, I'll get a little background on Greg. Greg's currently the CEO of STI International. Previously, he was the general manager of Benelli USA. He was then, previous to that, the president of Benchmade Knife Company, where he actually came up through the operations and sales marketing roles. And before that, Blount and Buck Knives. You've been around. How's that? In a good way.
Can't hold a job, I guess, as we guys
used to say. Good way. What I liked and why I wanted to talk with you, it was, you've been at both large, international companies and smaller private companies. So you've seen both sides of it. You've been through the operational side, the sales and marketing side, and now as president and CEO, so you've got a lot to offer. You know, you and I have worked a little in the past, and I know you know what you're doing, so I thought it would be great for the audience to hear, all your insights.
I appreciate that.
Quick, give us a little blurb on STI. Great gun company, by the way.
Yeah, great. So STI is a fantastic company that got started making high-end precision parts for competitive shooters. And Sandy Strayer and Virgil Tripp created STI, so Strayer Tripp International. And when they were doing that, they ended up developing the 2011, which is a modular metal frame with a polymer grip, and the combination of how they engineered that package on a more traditional 1911 style firearm, it just shoots fantastic. It's very soft shooting, very flat shooting, and that's what all the competitive shooters, as soon as they took it to the first match, people were completely locked in on getting one, just because instead of muzzle flip, it's just moving back and forth horizontally, and so as a shooter, as a competitor, you're on target so much faster. And so over the years, the company has progressed and really done fantastic. We have a huge market share. Between 50 and 60% of all competitive shooters shoot our platform, shoot the 2011 platform. And we ship 30% of our products we produce internationally, probably the biggest percentage of all produced guns of any company. And it's because it's such a dominant competition gun. And we were an ESOP from, I think, 2005, 2006. Dave Skinner sold it to the employees. And in 2014, I was brought in as the CEO. There was a gap there. A CEO had left earlier in the year. And the efforts really were to take it from being a very, very high-profile niche player in the small competition market and now introduce it to a broader gun market. And that's really been our challenge for the last couple of years.
And, I'm one of your converts. Wasn't a big 1911 fan, 2011 fan, but now I've got a few and love them. And you've also gone through transitions just recently, ownership-wise, right? You've gone now from an ESOP.
Right. We went out and looked for some additional growth capital, and in doing so, one of the minority players decided, no, we want to come in and be real part of this growth. So a really good company called Westwind Investors came in and invested in the company, and they're more private investors, not necessarily private equity, and they're really, really about growth and branding. And you know, they don't want to see us be the biggest company. They just want to make sure that we absolutely deliver the best product, best customer experience that can be had in the shooting industry. And that's just a great, it's very closely aligned with the way all the management here and the employees want to go. So it's been really good. They've brought some great new innovative thinking to us, and it's been a great partnership.
Awesome. All right, so questions, Greg. What is your role? As the president and CEO, what's your role?
Great question. When I first came in the transition of moving from being competition into the broader gun market, there was a lot of moving from being entrepreneurial to being a scalable business, you know, with a lot of good processes, continuous improvement. So I went from that, and now we've brought in, over the last couple of years, brought in some really good talent, and there wasn't as much doing and evaluating. So now it's, I very much a role of making sure that the board, our board of directors, has clear and accurate information, up to date on what's going on with the operation. And the next biggest thing is working very closely with the senior leadership to communicate the real vision of where we're going. That helped us get better talent, and it's helped a lot of the internal talent step up and play at a better level. And then taking that and then linking it, their day-to-day activities to where we want to be 3 years from now. And that's, you know, it, again, smaller companies, you end up wearing a lot of hats, but now as we're migrating and I have a really, really good team with me, that's more of what I'm doing today.
So you're transitioning more out of the maybe doing tactical to the more strategic leadership.
Yeah.
You mentioned building a team. Is that something you did early on?
Yeah, and what we had is, again, a transition of a group of people that had decided once I came in, said, well, I'm not up for what's going to go on here. I'd like to retire. So our financial CFO retired, so we went and got a really talented person to come in and build a good financial department, IT department. And then I also didn't have any sales and marketing, so I got a fantastic young man named Jens Kroos. Got great gun knowledge, knows the industry really well. So he's been really good on building the sales and marketing and dealer base. And then we had our ops guy decide when those two came in, said, whoa, that's much more than I'm in for, so I think I'm going to retire too. So that gave us a chance to go out and get some operations help as well. So, yeah, definitely got a great team that it really takes that. You know, you can't do it by yourself. And everybody here, we had a really good tenure here. So everybody had learned from each other. There was really no new blood in the building. And they all wanted to learn. So having some new blood mixed in with the old tribal knowledge has just been fantastic.
So you've replaced, or the team's been replaced here at STI, most of them, it sounds like, on the executive level. If you go back to Benelli and even your days at Benchmade, as you're building your either department or your company, how often did you upgrade the team or found people that didn't want to, you know, what do they say, get on the bus with you and left if we had the opportunity? I mean, did that happen every situation? Is that
another great question. When I was at Benchmade, see, I remember I grew up there, came in as vice president of sales and marketing, was moved into senior VP of operations, which had sales and marketing and now the operations. And then after a couple of years, then I moved in to being the president, which then just really brought in finance and HR. So I was growing up in that company with all the talent in the company. And so there was not a lot of change over there. But again, describing the vision, people self-select out. That's what happened at Benchmade. As soon as I stepped in as the president, standing there with the owner, we said, okay, here's the vision where we're going. And there were a couple of people who said, I'm out. Just very clear, and we worked through a transition. It worked out great. Going to Benelli, I probably moved faster into a vision, and some of the senior leadership didn't understand it, didn't get it, so we made a few changes. We also migrated, changed some people, changed their seat on the bus, and a little bit of that, I went too quick. So it was kind of a lesson learned, went a little too quick there. And so then coming here, what we did is we really spent time seeing, okay, again, on the bus, off the bus discussion. Should they be on the bus but in a different seat? And if that's not the case, then a clear description of the vision and what they need to be doing. Many self-selected out, especially in the CSOP transition, many self-selected out and said, well, I'm just going to go do something different. I don't want to work for a company that's scaling up. I like doing what I was doing here as a small niche player. And so again, the open communication being very clear, either people self-select out or it's very obvious when you have the discussion that they're not right for the bus.
So you've mentioned now at each of these positions, the vision, you set a vision. Is that something you would consider the primary role for the president and CEO, you know, set a vision and course of direction?
I think so, you know, because if you're just going at the business as it is today, then as things come up to you, you know, as issues arise, how do you answer that question? You're doing it on a short-term basis. But if you know, well, we've got to go here, you know, we're out here a ways, you know, we're going to that mountaintop, well then, okay, well, let's take the side street here. It's not that big a deal. We'll get back on track. Just take this here. Whereas if you don't know where you're going, then that's a major decision. Oh, my God, do we really take that street or not, you know? And should we really discontinue this product? Or, you know, should this person go away? And then you think, well, no, we've got this vision. Here's where we're going. Well, this person would be great taking this over because that's where we're going. Let's put them on that project, and they'll meet up with us in 60 days, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I just think it helps so many people understand their role, and they go, okay, I get it. I get it why you're asking us to do this or to do that.
So you've also, you mentioned that Benelli, you hinted at maybe going a little too fast.
Mm-hmm.
How do you know if you're going fast enough or not fast enough? I mean, you've gone through, I think, you know, Benelli, you inferred, I know through some past discussions, you know, you really pushed there. You did some phenomenal work, but it had some impact on the people side. How do you know if you're going fast enough or not fast enough?
When there's a serious conversation from your owners.
Well, okay.
A lot of it came where I learned a lot. Like when I got here, I stayed in constant touch with the board. And when I was at Benchmade, I was in constant touch with the ownership, the Diasis family. When I got to the Beretta Holdings Group or Benelli USA, that's a totally different animal in that there's not a lot of communication with the Beretta family or the senior leadership at Beretta Holdings. And so what you think is I just did not do a good job of clarifying and making sure that I understood in a series of different questions getting the answers. Because it's just the communication, it's language. And I just, you know, again, they are a very talented group. The Beretta Holdings Group is amazing what they've created. And so in my case, this is my role. You check the job description. No, we're supposed to grow the business, be efficient and effective, grow the profits. And so that's what we went at. But there were a couple of things in there that, no, it doesn't matter, profits or growth. They had other priorities within the group, and I wasn't clear on that. So that's why I harp so much on clear vision, communication, I learned it the most.
And it's great. You know, it's, you don't hear leaders, you know, admit defeat, or may not defeat, but, you know, faults along the way. So I applaud you for that.
Yeah.
I know it's the only one you've had in your career, so that's actually good. So,
well, it was clearly my being a bull in a china shop. It was not anything they did. It was clearly my misreading the tea leaves, and I should have done a better job there.
So it's the communication. I mean, in many of those cases, you talked about the board, right? Communicate with the board to be in line or understand what their goals are, priorities are, and are you going at the right pace? I guess I'd also say, if not ask, though, with the people also, right? How fast can the people adapt, or are you pushing them? I assume it goes both ways. That communication.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's a great question, and again, a learning curve. I think that's just listening, and you could feel that here at STI because, again, we did push on some things very quickly, and because they hadn't seen it and they were a little concerned about it. But that's where, in some cases, experience tells you that you can go to this point, but you can't go beyond that. And then when you know, the lack of engagement shows up, or there's certain signs within the organization where, or you start to have turnover. People are starting to voluntarily leave. It's not involuntary, it's voluntary. Okay, that's a big sign, you know. If we're not getting employees to recommend to come work here, it is a big sign. And we went through a big gap there last year where that was happening, And in the last 6 months, we've probably gotten four people that used to work for STI that have now come back to us and said, I've heard great things. I want to work here again. That's,
nice.
You know, those are what we're looking for.
So I've heard so far, you know, vision's needed, communication's important. What other success factors do you think are needed to run, lead a successful business?
You know, for me early on, it was making the transition to really leadership versus doing. You know, the difference between executing and then, you know, working with people and getting the charge out of seeing them complete the task or, you know, a win. And I think that's probably, that was the hardest thing. You know, as you move from job to job, I was lucky enough to be in roles about every 5 years. So I got to have really good experience at sales management, marketing management, product management. You know, as I went along, I had plenty of time to make errors, do things, execute, then learn how to work with people. And I think that's some of the issue as you move up is being able to let go of the old job, you know, the previous job. And as you go into senior leadership, you have to learn how to not necessarily do it. You've got to have a good example, good vision, lots of questions, and let them execute to get it done.
What's the best business advice you've received?
I was lucky enough early on. I've got a really good friend of mine who played in the National Football League for years, and named Stan Brock, played 16 years in the NFL, played as an offensive lineman, and got out and became a head football coach of the Arena Football, and then he went on to college football as offensive line coach, then the head coach at West Point. And at one point he was talking to me, and I was talking, I was frustrated, something wasn't happening right at work, and he just looked at me and he said, Greg, they're not you. And it just is like, well, what do you mean by that? And he told me a story about it. An older coach said the same thing to him when he challenged his older coach, his offensive defensive coordinator, saying, our guys are off working out, and I want to talk to them when they're done. And he said, no, Stan, they're down at the bar. And he goes, no, they're not. This is their workout time. He said, no, they're not. We'll walk over there and check. Sure enough, they go over. Nope, they're all down at the bar. And the older coach just turned to him and said, Stan, they're not you. Hmm. And for me, that has just been that rings in my ear all the time when I come into a situation where somebody hasn't executed, they haven't done what they said they'd do, and, you know, not everybody, I guess, takes it, you know, with the same passion and enthusiasm as, you know, I love what I do. And for a lot of people, that's not necessarily the case. And so you got to understand that, communicate with them, set clear objectives, measure against that, and then really pat those in the back that do get it, that are as excited and passionate. So that was the best.
And knowing that they're not you, knowing how to manage for that, right? Manage to that.
Right.
I hear a lot of CEOs, you know, that we work with. And they complain about it. They're like, you know, well, when I was that age, when I was in that role, and I say the same thing, you know, they're not you, and you gotta
right.
manage that differently. That's a good.
Yeah.
That's very good. What about anything you would have done differently in your career if you had a chance to do a redo or something?
I probably would have done a little bit more schooling as I got out. You know, in general, I had opportunities to do some of that as I went along, but I always got this next job where I got really challenged and I got a whole new level of responsibilities. And I thought, well, you know, should I take that and learn from it? Now, I've been lucky because a lot of the companies I work with gave me opportunities to go courses here, courses there. I've gotten great training on lean and continuous improvement. But, you know, I love the fact that I've not really done a job quickly, meaning within a year or two. And I like having been able to put meat behind each one of the roles I had.
So continuous training. I mean, I know you're big on continuous improvement, but taking that to yourself, you wish you would have done more of that.
Yep, I definitely would have liked to have done that. And I wish I could have learned I'm still learning patience, but you can definitely see I see it in young guys that I work with today that patience is awesome. It's a great virtue, and being able to not respond quickly, but dust settle.
Are you saying you're too old now to be trained? Is that that's what I'm hearing?
No, that's not it at all, Mr. DeSenza.
What advice would you give any newer presidents, new CEOs, whether they're starting a business or stepping into a business, or even some of the larger companies stepping into a role from a VP role?
Again, it kind of goes back to that vision, and you can't do it. Yeah, you've got to create some kind of a culture. You got to create a culture, or you got to have to communicate to where people understand where you need to go, and they've got to go do it. And like I said, again, I made the mistake early on in general management where I still did a lot of things. And really, what I try and do is I only try to do the things that are falling through the cracks. So if there's an area where we could do some improvement, rather than telling somebody else, go figure out this report, figure this out, I'll do it while they're doing other things, show it, work with them, and then they go, okay, great. Then they take the ball and they run with it. And so it's my thing would be is the communication, make sure that the vision is very clear, and it's a huge success. People want to know that they also want to know that you're supporting them. So my role is really to allocate resources and offer help,
Great. I'm gonna summarize what I've heard, what I've written down, in terms of some of the key points you've made. You started off with vision, you actually ended with vision. Setting a course for direction, where's the company going, maybe how we're gonna get there, start peeling that vision back into strategy. You talked about the importance of building a team. Some decide to get off the bus when they understand what the vision is, which means you're probably doing a good job sharing that vision, communicating up and down to the board and our employees, which is going to help you figure out if you're on the right pace. You've talked about leading more versus doing, and the letting go, which I know is a big challenge with everybody as they go from one position to another. And then you said, they're not you. Understanding that people are not you, and maybe I think you're inferring the fact that most people that rise to president are they're doers, they get things done, and not everyone's like you that does that. So understand who they are and manage them accordingly. How's that for a summary?
Good job. You're actually taking notes.
Anything you want to add to that?
No. I would just say that historically you've been great working with you and learning a lot from you as well. So I appreciate that.
Well, thank you. We've made a good team over the years. So, thank you, Greg. I'm gonna wrap this up. We've been interviewing Greg Mooney, the CEO of SDI International. Thanks for listening to this session. We hope you gained some insights on how you can improve the growth and performance of your business. If you do have a challenge, feel free to give us a call. Again, my name is Chris DeCenzo. I'm with Growth Strategy Partners. We're a management consulting firm which has improved the revenue, profit, and organizational growth of privately held companies by applying our research-driven 7 keys to growth. Remember, our business is growing yours. Have a great day.